And today we have a special guest, missionary Dan Johnson. Dan Johnson and I go back about 43 years. And we were talking about that yesterday and just said, wow. But Dan is a friend of mine, and we attended Northwest College together, Bible school. And Dan is serving as a missionary in the country of Spain and has been there for a number of years. And he's here to share with us a little bit about that vision and a message from the Word of God. Welcome, Dan, as he comes this morning. Dan, it's great to have you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. It is great to be with you folks here in Kenai. And I want to thank you, first of all, for your faithful support over the last 4 years. It's been such an encouragement to know that you're supporting me financially and praying for me, and the Lord has just been so faithful. I've been on my what we call a furlough all this year, and I'm going back on December 14th, and even in the midst of all this COVID and all the other craziness that is going on, it has just been an amazing year. You know, God just somehow has the greatest opportunity in the darkest of darkness to shine brighter, right? And a big part of that are folks like you who are helping me to get back to the mission field. I have a little table out there in the lobby. It's got all kind of literature on it in reference to sharing your faith with Muslims, which is my focus. It's been that my focus for the last 18 plus years. So all that stuff is free on the table. If you'd like to sign up for my newsletter, I send that every 3 months, so please leave your name and your email address in a way that I can read it, and I will happily get that out to you. And then if you would like, take one of my prayer cards. I could definitely need every prayer that I can get to reach our great Muslim friends. This has been a difficult year, and you know, it seems like the longer this stretches out and the more complicated things get, it's like, oh, Jesus. Come back, Lord, really? How long is this going to go on? Well, you know, all my life, probably like many of you, I've heard about, you know, the way that the last days are going to play out, the pre-tribulation, the mid-tribulation, the post-tribulation, and honestly, that stuff just makes me dizzy. Yeah, it seems like the older I get, the less things I understand in some ways. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. But the things I do know, I do know. And Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony unto me to all nations, and then the end shall come." I know that. I am convinced of that. I am so committed to that. That's why I have given my life to extending the gospel to the ends of the earth. And there's something that it's important to realize about that verse. Jesus said, in all the world, to all nations. There's two different words there. World would refer to the geopolitical world, which is made up of countries. There's some 220 countries, I believe, that are recognized by the United Nations. These are places with borders and capitals and places that you and I would identify. But every country is made up of nations, of ethnos. So while there are 220-some countries in the world, and thank God, in 2,000 years of preaching, the gospel is present in every country of the world. Hallelujah! But before we get too excited, there's some 24,000 nations or ethnos in this world. And in 2,000 years of preaching, we have reached about 18 to 20,000 of those ethnos, those groups. Leaving 4 to 6,000 of those groups that to this day, October 3rd, 2021, have yet to hear the gospel. Now, I don't know what that does to your eschatology, but I hope it messes with you. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony unto me to all nations. And then what? Then the end shall come. So we have got a great task before us. Some of those groups are as small as 500 people in the jungles of the Amazon. Others are as large as over 100 million people in places like Indonesia and India and China. Without one identifiable believer. So we've got a task before us. Now, is God able to accelerate the task? Absolutely. And he's placed all kinds of tools in our hands, but we have got to be about our Father's business. And even in spite of all the pressure that we're feeling for Jesus to hurry up and get back, well, I, for one, want to be found faithful when he returns. Hallelujah. I put together a little bit of a video, so we'll take a look at that, give you an idea of what I'm doing there in the city of Madrid. I lived for 14 years in Granada, which is a city that I dearly, dearly love, a city that was voted twice as the most beautiful city in all of Spain. But then 5 years ago, the Lord moved me to Madrid, and I've been kind of a struggle to adapt to this big, large, modern city, but I'm learning to love it. So we'll take a look at that video.
Dan is part of our Oasis team.
As well, he and I started our Canisa church planting project. Canisa means church in Arabic.
وبعدين أنا التحقت بيهم من مصر.
Dani es parte de nuestro equipo pastoral.
And part of Almasira.
کمک به ایرانی ها یک بخش بزرگ از فعالیت های دنیل هستش و اون وقت بسیار زیادی رو با ایرانی ها میگذرونن.
من نمیدونم چطور شده، اما حس خیلی قوی و عجیبی دارم برای تو. تو یک مسیحی بسیار مؤمنی هستی و من هم یک مسلمان شیعه مؤمنی هستم. من نمیفهمم احساسات خودم رو. تو از یک کشوری هستی که دشمن کشور منه. تو عاشق اسرائیل هستی و من میخوام اسرائیل رو نابود بکنم. تو عیسی رو دوست داری و من امام مهدی رو. و عیسی، من نمیدونم چطور داره این اتفاق میفته، با این حال که ما از دو دنیای مختلفی هستیم، اما تو در راه عیسی داری قدم میزنی. من هم میخوام در این راه باشم. برادرانه، خیلی دوست دارم.
I feel the breath of hell breathing down my neck. Dark intends to destroy and hinder to keep this one in check. Of thin spaces the mystics speak, where heaven and earth caress, but as well in darkness they exist, to frighten, threaten, and oppress. Moments of this special awareness my way do often come, serving Jesus with all my heart, but sensing the beat of a different drum. I feel it with a friend from Iran, zealous for his lost cause, his hunger for truth intermittent and intense, looking for true faith, but only in religious laws. I feel it in my family ties, so dysfunctional, distant, and sad. In spite of repeated attempts for years, it's me they consider bad. I feel it with a woman newly saved and set free from Mohammed's grip, only to be hindered again and again until she finally begins to slip. I feel it as I fast and seek, procuring to Jesus to be close, crying out in spiritual battle and thankful to be one he chose. Hell may approach and pour out its wrath, but too late it is, for Jesus has already won. So pull your stunts, give it all you've got. He'll be here soon, our glorious, victorious one.
لكن الله يأتي بالثمر.
Thank you for partnering with me through the good times and bad. Without you, nothing happens, but together, we can build the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Ministering to our Muslim friends is, as you can imagine, very slow process, very much of a seed-sowing ministry, but God is doing some amazing things. Did you realize that the fastest-growing church in the world today is in Iran? They say the greatest evangelist that Iran ever had was the Ayatollah Khomeini. What? Did he get saved? No. He just made people so sick of Islam that are bailing out left and right. Hallelujah. The second fastest growing church in the world is in Afghanistan. And God in his amazing sovereignty is allowing a lot of those Afghanis to come to the United States. And I think we need to recognize this as an opportunity rather than a threat. Hello? If we're walking in the Spirit, that's how we see things. God is not only sending us to the nations, but he's sending the nations to us with the end to share the gospel with them. Another great story that I have just heard in recent months is I'm part of a small pastor Zoom group, and one of my friends that's on that, his name is Esat. He's an Egyptian missionary, dear brother, got a tremendous ministry on the internet. Muslims are constantly getting a hold of him, asking questions, and he's discipling and making all kinds of contacts and everything. So I said, Esat, tell me one of your recent stories. He said, Dan, you're never going to believe what I just heard. He said, this Moroccan lady got a hold of me. She said, I gave my heart to Jesus, and of course, my husband was furious, being a faithful Muslim, and he kept saying, you've got to leave this Jesus business. I'm not leaving Jesus. Yes, no, yes. So the conflict is growing stronger and stronger. Finally got to the point where he couldn't take her anymore. And he said, come on, I'm taking you out of here. So he forced her out into the car. Late at night, they drive up into the Atlas Mountains of Morocco. It's cold. It's dark. It's forest. There's animals up there. He says, I'm done with you. And he kicks her out of the car and takes off. Well, what was she going to do? 60-some-year-old woman, brand new in her faith? Jesus! You know what happened? She opened her eyes, and she's back in her bedroom. And she's listening to her husband and her daughter arguing about her. Her daughter is saying, where's my mom? What did you do with my mom? I couldn't handle that Jesus business anymore. I took her up on the mountains, and I dumped her out. She's listening to this whole argument. And then she opens up the door. Oh, I wish I could have been there to see the look on his face. But you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. And if some of you are having struggles believing that story, well, you just need to reread the book of Acts. Because in Acts chapter 8, the Lord translated or transported Philip a distance of over 20 miles in an instant like that. He indeed is doing the same thing today that he always has been. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's go to John chapter 13. I want to share something from a well-known passage, John chapter 13, starting with verse 1. It was just before the passage feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love, or another way that is translated in the New International is he loved them to the last. Verse 2, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your sweet presence with us this morning. Lord, we just want to continue to open our hearts, and I pray even now, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, that you would begin reaching into some of the deep crevices of the hearts and spirits and minds of those that are listening to me. I just want to step out of your way. I want you to speak, Lord, your word, because you are the healer. You are the one that knows what we need. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this moment that we've just gotten through reading, Jesus is entering into the last phase of his earthly ministry. And verse 1 says, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. You know, as we walk with the Father, he makes us aware of things, right? I mean, I've got a couple of incidences that I have heard about where the Lord has told people when they were going to die. I can remember one time when in Guatemala, this man came and shared the story of his brother. His brother had been serving Jesus all of his life, and the Lord spoke to him that he was going to die on such and such a day. So what did he do? He went around and was saying goodbye to his family members, and they were laughing at him. They weren't believers. He said, this is just another fanatical expression of you walking with Jesus. This is ridiculous. But he was convinced that the Lord had spoken to him. He went around and said goodbye to his mom and his brothers and sisters. And then he was making his way back to his village from the capital city of Guatemala. And he didn't have any transportation, so he was hitchhiking. Somebody stopped in a pickup, picked him up. And there was a lot, the big pickup bed was full of stuff. So he put one foot inside the bed and the other on the bumper and was straddling this. And as things happen in Guatemala, the roads aren't in very good condition. And they're driving down the road, and then whoop, boom, there was hit a spot in the road. And the guy keeps driving along and driving along. And then somebody finally came up to him, pointing desperately to the back of his truck. This young man had fallen out, but his leg had gotten caught. He was gone. He was with Jesus. So his brother that had mocked him came and sought us out and told us the story. My brother knew he was going to be with Jesus. He told us. He came and said goodbye to us. Wow. Certainly didn't choose the way that he went with the Lord, but he knew he was going to go. Things like this can happen when we are walking in the Spirit. When we draw close to the Father. And Jesus knew that the time had come for him to go. All of his reason for being in this world is about to be fulfilled. He had spent 3.5 years ministering, preaching, healing, teaching, correcting, liberating from demons, all kinds of things, and it was all going to come to a head at the cross where he was offering his life as a sacrifice. And it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the last. Everything that Jesus starts, he finishes, right? He's not like us. You know, we've got things that we start and we get bored or we get depressed or whatever happens and leave it and we start something else. Jesus is not like that. If our Lord is anything, he fulfills what he starts. He finishes what he starts. I shared in the early service that my grandpa was a Swede. And he was a very demanding Swede. And he always said, and it was typically with a threatening tone, if you start something, you better finish it. I mean, he taught that into me from the time I could understand anything. And it didn't matter what it was. If it was some kind of a project, if it was fixing something, it was a trip, if it was a fight, whatever it was, whatever you started, you had to finish. And guess what? You had to finish it well. Because if you didn't, wow. What that meant, you go back and start all over again and do it as many times as you have to until it's well done. Unfortunately, my grandpa was a militant atheist, but I think that he did share this with Jesus. What he started, he finished. And there's a deep sense of satisfaction I have found through the years that in finishing something that we start, right? Praise God. It took me 7 years to finish my master's degree. I thought I was going to get it done in one, but when I got it done, hallelujah! Woo! It doesn't matter what it is that we start, whether it's a project or graduating from a school or university, to see a son or daughter marry well, to retire. We could go on and on and on about all the things that we start, and when we finish them, oh, it's so cool. It's wonderful. It just fills us with joy. Jesus knew that he had loved his disciples to the last. And then verse 2, it says, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Look at all the things that Jesus knew. You might think, oh, that's ridiculous to say. Jesus knows everything. Well, yes, right. But let's just take a look at what he knew. He knew in verse 1 that the time had come for him to leave. He knew that he had loved his disciples until the last. Verse 3, he knew that the Father had put all things under his power. He also knew that he had come from God and that he was going returning back to God. What Jesus knows goes far beyond what you and I know, right? Obviously. But look at how that contrasts with what others don't know. Jesus knows everything, and we don't know everything. Judas, for example, he didn't know that he was about to be sorry for betraying Jesus. Nor did he know that just shortly after that, that as a result of that, he would commit suicide. He didn't have that knowledge. The devil himself didn't know that what he had so delicately constructed for so many years in the attempt to destroy Jesus was actually going to come back on him and finish him out. Hallelujah! Praise God! Now, when you know why you are here and where you're going and what is waiting for and what you want to leave as a legacy, that kind of knowledge just fills us with this sense of security and joy and peace that no one or nothing can derail you from your pathway. I so many times I experienced this when I was in Guatemala all those years ago. I remember recently arrived. I had been invited to preach, and I took this young man who was a singer with me. He was all excited, so we go down to this church, and I'm preaching, and he sings. We're having a glorious time in the presence of the Lord. And I had an appointment to get to back in the capital city of Guatemala. So we came down by bus. We're going to go back by bus. We got on the bus. Boom, takes off down the highway. We were on the highway for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and we saw that all of the traffic in both directions came to a complete standstill. It was weird. I mean, this is a major highway in Guatemala. All the traffic is stopped, and people start murmuring and wondering what's going on. And all of a sudden, off to the left, boom, and this light tower blows up. And then off to the right, boom, another light tower. Los Guerrieros! We were still at the end of getting towards the end of the civil war that was going on in Guatemala. So the guerrilleros were there, and they're shooting and bullets, and you know, as a good American, I don't have time for this. You know, I've got things to do. So everybody's we're gonna die. All I can think is I have to get off this stupid bus and get back to the capital. And so the young guy I brought with me, he's I'm gonna die. He's crying. He's in panic. He's trying to hide under the seat. He's like, come on, no. I'm trying to drag him out. Come on. I had noticed there was another bus that had gotten out of line and was going to get beyond everybody else and continue on its way. I said, come on, let's go. Bing, bing, bing. All these bullets are, it's come on. So I was dragging him out of the bus. I said, run. So we ran and caught up the other bus. And thank God. And I thought, you know what? That was really stupid. Dodging bullets, risking my life and Joselito's life as well, just because I had an appointment. But there's just something about being in the presence of the Lord. I'm not Mr. Courageous, but it just knowing that you're in His will and in His plan and in His presence, it just fills you with this incomparable sense of peace and security where sometimes you'd be doing things that you never would have done otherwise. Verse 4, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This act was nothing unusual. It was an everyday event, but what made it so significant is that Jesus was doing this. He was doing something that was not his responsibility. But this is where the depth of his teaching comes in. And Peter immediately resisted. Verse 6. He said, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? He began, maybe we could say courteously, and he's not in a direct opposition to what Jesus is doing. Initially, he's just questioning Jesus. But almost in his words, you can hear, wait a minute, here we go again. You're taking me out of my comfort zone. Are you going to wash my feet? Hello? No. That's not happening. What are the questions that you ask God? Every one of us has got questions, I know that. Do you ever dare to even question what he's doing and why he's doing things? I do. I have to confess, I do. Certainly in the course of your life, you have questioned God. It didn't appear right to you, or it doesn't appear right to you what he is either doing or allowing in your life. Oh, really? You let my parents get divorced. Huh. You're the healer, and you are letting cancer just have its way. You let the person that I love the most leave me? And hello? What about COVID? What's up with that? All the death, all the trauma associated with, and it goes on and on and on. What are you doing, God? I don't understand. I don't get it. You know, hello, be nice. So many times that's the way we are. And look at how Jesus responded. I love this. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Verse 7, Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Oh, hallelujah. I love this. And I'm intrigued by the difference between these two words. In the New International, they're translated realize and understand. We typically use those as synonym, whatever that word is. But there is a subtle difference. In Greek, we're talking about oido and genosko. Oido is translated realize. That refers to this intuitive knowledge that we just have because we have it. It doesn't take a rocket science. We know certain things just because they are. Whereas understand, genosko, refers to a type of knowledge that we have because we've learned it. You hear what I'm saying? So the significance or the meaning could be something like, what I am doing is not obvious to you right now, but later on you will have learned. Hallelujah! Wow! You know, there's a gap between realize and understand, between oido and genosko. And it's by design, hey? It's intentional, this gap. Because the Lord is at work in each one of our lives. And the end of all this is that we'd be conformed to his image. So between this gap of realize and understand, he is at work in our lives. And he is conforming us. And he is transforming us. And he is breaking us. And he is showing us and exposing to us areas that still are not pleasing to him. Hallelujah. For what Jesus was doing for Peter was scandalous. It was inappropriate. It was not convenient. It was embarrassing. And Peter let Jesus know it. He didn't have any problem letting Jesus know what he felt. You know, we as men and women, we don't get the ways of the Lord. It doesn't take even a believer to see the works of God, right? I mean, somebody's healed and you see him and you know, oh yeah, he's healed. It doesn't take any special person or ability to recognize the works of God, but the ways of God. That is what Jesus is at work in instructing us and teaching us. For example, Psalm 95:10, he is speaking about his own people, and it says, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. How well do you know the ways of the Lord? Why he does what he does? Daniel, who knew God so well, he said in chapter 2, verse 22, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 11:25, you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Our great comfort as we walk through this life is that one day we will be with him. One day it's all going to be over. Hallelujah. One day we're going to understand everything. We sing about it. We preach about it. We teach about it. We dream about it. Praise God. Amen. But the cool thing is, now listen to me. The cool thing is Jesus was not just referring to the sweet by and by. He was referring to the here and now. In the moment of washing the disciples' feet, Peter and those that were with him, they didn't understand what Jesus was doing, right? That's what the text says. But it's because they hadn't yet learned. But when Jesus died, when he rose again from the dead, when he ascended to the Father and the Holy Spirit came and baptized all of them, and hallelujah, and their understanding just came in an instant. They now got it. Hallelujah. I can think about when Peter, he's being filled with the Holy Spirit. He's been speaking in tongues, and he goes out and he preaches to that vast crowd. And I like to think that in that moment when he is preaching, wow, look at what's happened. I get it. I get it. Yes, Jesus, I understand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalms 16:11 that he quotes in his sermon says, you have made known to me the path of life. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I like to think when he's preaching that he's thinking about what Jesus had just said just a few weeks ago. You do not realize, Peter, what I am doing now. But later, you will understand. Hallelujah. And that later wasn't very long. He didn't have to wait to heaven to understand what the Lord was doing. He got it just a few weeks after Jesus had been at work in his life. Praise God. Oh, I get it, Jesus. I get it. I told the earlier service, I said, you know, there are some advantages to getting old. Anybody with me? Hallelujah. I'm glad I was young, but I'm even gladder now that I'm old. Praise God. I'm one day closer to Jesus every day. And I would not go back even if I had the chance. But there's something about getting old. You know, we've all got these loose ends in our lives. I think if you start thinking, we've got all these unanswered questions, things that have happened, that, you know, you've thought 1,000 times, go around it, and you just don't get it. I don't understand, I don't understand, I don't understand. You think about it, you still don't understand. All these loose ends, we just kind of accumulate a series of loose ends in our lives. Relationships that went wrong, financial things, who knows, health, all kinds of stuff that happens in the course of life with every one of us. And we think, oh, I don't get it. But you know what happens when you get old? Wow, some of those things just begin to connect. And then things just start making sense. Things that didn't make sense all those years ago, now I get it. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. I understand, Jesus. I understand. I didn't realize then, but I understand now. Hallelujah! Wow! When we begin to understand the ways of the Lord, it just fills us with such joy and such peace, which is an outflow of his work in our lives in conforming us to his image. Oh, blessed be his name. So if you're younger and you've got a lot of loose ends even now, well, don't worry about it. The time will come when those things just, and you can't force it. You know, sometimes we kind of forcefully try to connect those dots and it just doesn't happen. But in his time, in his way, there it is. Ah, wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How did I know 35 years ago the tragic death of my sister here in Soldotna was the most traumatic thing that we lived as a family would one day turn into this deep consolation for a Mexican brother? How could I know that? But that's what the Lord does. How could I know that I'm all set to go into missions and I'm just all excited? And then the Lord says, well, your place is actually here as a youth pastor down in the coast of Washington. Okay. Only to several years later turn around and I'm coming to Spain and working with Muslims, which is what I was going to do just out of Bible school. Hallelujah! He has just an amazing way of connecting the dots and just making everything work right and work well for the glory of him and his kingdom. Praise you, Jesus. You do not realize what I am doing now, today, in your situation, in your tears, your anger, your fear. You do not realize what's going on. And that's okay. That's part of living life. But later, you will understand. It's all going to make sense. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I'd like to pray this morning specifically for those of you who possibly do not understand what God is either doing or allowing to happen in your life. You might be angry. You might be fearful. You might be ready to throw in the towel. But Jesus is saying to you, do not realize what I'm doing now, but later you will understand. I'd like to pray for you, for somebody who's walked that same road, every eye closed, every head bowed. I understand. Why? Because I've learned. So if that's you this morning, just raise your hand real quick, and I'd like to pray for you. Several people are raising their hands. Jesus, your ways are so much higher than our ways. And forgive us for bucking against what you do, what you allow. Forgive us for questioning you with anger, bitterness. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are there this morning that are struggling. I pray that it would be enough, that you would just be at work in their lives, and that that answer that they're looking for is yet to come. Maybe in a few days, weeks, maybe years, maybe it won't happen until heaven. But I pray that you'd give them, Lord, a holy conformity and acceptance and trust in you who do everything right. In your name, amen.
So true. So many of us have those loose ends in our lives. What did that mean? Or why did that happen? And why did, you know, this situation, you know, why was I involved in this? And just, but in the meantime, when we don't understand, is just to remain obedient to Jesus. Amen? Because the understanding will come. I was just thinking so many examples, even in Scripture. I was thinking of Joseph, who was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery in Egypt. And can you imagine all the loose ends in his life, you know? Bought by the household of Pharaoh as a slave and started to rise to think, oh, this is making sense, only to be thrown back into prison again. And then at the end, Joseph understood, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. And that's what he's doing in our lives, amen? That's what he's performing in you, all those loose ends, why this, why that? Well, Satan may mean it for evil, but we'll understand someday that God meant it for good. Praise God, amen? Hallelujah.